Content for the following program was provided by the Teton County Library.
Hey, everybody, turn off the TV. Meet me down at the library.
From the back of the stacks.
Library, library, library.
Hi, I'm Diana.
And I'm Rebecca.
And today we're talking about audiobooks.
With our dedicated audiobook listener, Stephanie Crockett. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
So Stephanie commutes from Victor and has ample opportunity to listen to audiobooks. So she's your go-to person at the library if you need a good recommendation. And today she's going to give us some.
I just finished David Sedaris's Theft by Finding. And that one's hilarious. That one can be embarrassing if you are commuting because you start laughing and no one knows what you're laughing at.
You mean if you're commuting on the bus?
Commuting on the bus or even in your own personal car, people might look at you. No, that one's great. If you like David Sedaris.
That Theft by Finding, is that the one where he goes back into some old journals?
Yes. It's good. It's different because it is just him reading through his life in journals.
I love David Sedaris, so I have to add that to my to-listen-to list. I had to drive to the Salt Lake Airport and downloaded The Night Circus. And I noticed that it's a great book. The writing is beautiful, but also the reader is great. So I think the reader makes a big difference.
Some books, I'll just stop and read the book if I like the book, but I just don't like the voice of the narrator. Or I don't think that's how the character should sound or does sound in my head, then I'll switch and just start reading it.
Do you have a favorite reader?
Several. Got Davina Porter is always great. She does Outlander, that Outlander series. Oh, Jim Dale, who did all the Harry Potter books. He has certain voices, so when you listen to him doing something other than Harry Potter, you find that, oh, Hagrid's in this one also. Or he has some of the repeat voices, but he's great to listen to. And I think he even won a Grammy. Robert Ian McKenzie. I think I like all the Scottish and British voices for some reason, but he's another good one. He can get different voices, different characters, and do some female voices also. That's good. That's important, definitely, when you're listening to audiobooks.
I agree about the Harry Potter reader. He is excellent. I listened to one of those Brené Brown books, and she's so great on her TED Talks. And then I found out she's not actually reading. It was Daring Greatly, the one that I listened to. So I didn't like the reader as much as I liked her, but the book was great. It was good for a trip to Park City and back, about that length.
I know some books you just end up sitting there and listening in your garage for a while, waiting for it to end if they're really good. We were talking about Lab Girl. That was another one I just listened to. I listened and read, so I could sort of do express reading and get through it. That one had several holds on it, so I was trying to get through it quickly. It's a biography about her life as a geochemist growing up and creating her own lab. And that's a book I definitely would recommend if you're into science reading or just memoirs, biographies. I found that really interesting because it mixes a lot of the science and her own personal story. So you go back and forth between really learning about geochemistry and geobiology, and then you just get to hear her real life story and her struggles with some mental illness and her family, and I don't know, it's a good.
Would you say there's a trend right now of really readable books about science? Or in this case, listenable?
Maybe I've just discovered them. I don't know. Maybe there was always a trend. But I just, right now, like The Hidden Life of Trees by Peter Wallaben, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. The Soul of an Octopus by Cy Montgomery. That was a real interesting. That's the one that kind of got me hooked on science writing, I think.
What is that about?
Well, she writes about volunteering in an aquarium and just how these different octopuses have characters and they like certain people and they're pranksters and just it goes into a lot more about them, about their biology, and their, it gives you a lot more insight into their behavior without kind of anthropomorphizing them, describing them and how the different volunteers at the aquarium interact and they interact with them. And but it also goes into the biology, so you get a little bit of an education.
In where I was visiting along the coast, they have a little aquarium where they always have an octopus in this pool. And there was an octopus that kept, like, it was funny, kept kind of putting his tentacles. I don't know. Are octopus he, she?
Yes.
I should know that.
How do you tell that? I don't know. I don't remember.
Because the aquarium person, they kept, like, trying to get the octopus to put its tentacles back into the pool. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a mother with a small child, like trying to get their kid to keep their hands out of the candy jar or something. It was really funny.
Well, yeah, there was one part of the book she talks about that, because that's how the octopus interacts with people. It's like kind of tasting their skin. So they love to just, you know, grab onto your arms as you reach into the tank. And there were three people who had this one octopus occupied by tasting their hands, and he had one of his tentacles reaching out the back of the tank and picking up a bucket of fish while he had these other three volunteers busy. That's the thing about and getting back to the lab girl talking about like she gets involved with plants. Hers is more botany that she's interested in, but not giving the trees or anything these special characteristics to make them human, but she almost does the opposite and makes the humans in her life, she describes them how plant-like we all are. And, you know, we do these same different things and how plants can communicate, trees can communicate through like a fungus in the soil. And I don't know, just we don't communicate that way, but you know, there are ways of communicating where we never thought plants would be able to do that. But
if you want to know how I'm feeling, go dig up the dirt around my house.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe there is something to that.
Does the author talk at all about, get very deep into the people's lives? You were talking about Lab, yes, Girl, where they kind of wean the science and the personal. And mm-hmm. I don't know if in the other book they did that.
Definitely, yeah, in that one. She talks about the volunteers at the aquarium and how their and how important it is for them to just how much they get out of working with the octopus or the animal. You know, there's other animals there too, but and then just how those individuals become a kind of a family and relate to each other and just. She also talks about just how the octopus picks out certain personalities that they like better than others. Some walk by and the octopus would just spray them, never let them near the tank. Pranking, or just they didn't like that person. That person always got squirted when they walked past the hip of trees I read. And that one was a little more just science-y for me. I didn't really connect with that one as well because I liked the character... the author who lives in the forest in Europe, and I learned a lot from that one. But as far as his personality didn't come out quite as much as I would like. But it's fun. It's just it's a fun, short, interesting, sciencey read. The one I'm not to digress from the science thing, but the one I just finished that was a great audiobook, just fabulous author, and unfortunately I didn't discover him until recently, and he passed away in May, was his Brian Doyle, and he wrote Mink River. That one was just, I can't remember the narrator's name, but that one is just so beautiful to listen to. It's about just a small town in Oregon on a river, and it's just several different characters in, you know, all these different families and how they are interwoven, and there's the Native American mixed with the Scottish immigrants, and like the kids of the mixed, the parents and their different cultures, and it's just beautiful. You know, just you wouldn't want to go to Mink River. You want to go to that little place and be with these people. So yeah, I would recommend that one or anything by Brian Doyle.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, turn off the TV. Meet me down at the library.
Library.